Wiseacres wishing for wicked wisdom. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 71. And of course, I am your humble host, Karen, and we are your naturally knavish narrators of knowledge about narwhals.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
To quickly start off the show, we have another quick installment of...
Yep,
that is our segment where we might have said wrong things before, and now we're correcting them. And in the last episode, it was my bad. We had a song clip. It was Ain't No Mountain, and that version was Marvin Gaye, and I said Diana Ross, and it's not Diana Ross. It is Tammy Terrell. Diana Ross did do a version.
Okay.
And I got it wrong from the MP3 label, so I'm sorry, everybody.
Mostly to Tammy, we're sorry.
Yeah. Exactly. Shortchanged. All right, everybody. Chris is back.
Hi.
Today is our all quiz bonanza number 14.
Woo!
14?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Man.
So every fifth episode, we have a just quiz episode, and all of us have prepared quizzes to quiz each other and quiz you guys, the listeners. And to kick off this all quiz bonanza number 14, let's jump into our usual general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. And here I have random Trivial Pursuit cards. These are so... okay. These are bottom of the barrel. They're very, like, you know it or you don't, so they're not really fun trivia questions, but let me shuffle some of these around.
You gotta take what they give you sometimes.
Trivia works that way sometimes. Yeah,
I guess so. Well, here's a good example. Man, okay. Blue Wedge for geography. What two states share the Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad?
Okay.
Dana.
So, Toltec, I'm gonna guess it's maybe New Mexico or somewhere.
Whoa.
Yeah,
all right.
What's the other state?
Arizona?
Incorrect, Colin. It is Colorado. Colorado, New Mexico.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, Pink Wedge for pop culture. What is rapper Eminem's real name? Oh, that was Colin.
No, it was.
We can do it at the same time. I think Dana and I both know it's Marshall Mathers.
Yes, yeah. M and M. Yellow Wedge. What Lawrence is Lawrence of Arabia about? I feel like we got a lot of Lawrence Arabia questions in Trivial Pursuit.
That's T.H. Lawrence, right?
Incorrect, Chris. You got to guess.
I don't know.
It is T.E. Lawrence.
Oh, okay.
British officer who became involved in the Arab revolt during World War I.
Yep.
Okay, Purple Wedge. What Cormac McCarthy book did the Coen brothers adapt into a Best Picture Oscar winner? Chris.
No Country for Old Men.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Nice.
Green Wedge for science. What insect builds a mound that can be 30 feet high? Colin.
I think those are termites.
Yes, termites.
Wow.
Oh, 30 feet. I was thinking inches. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it's impressive enough as inches. Imagine at 30 feet.
Oh, that's so scary. I don't like thinking about it.
Three stories tall.
Orange Wedge, last question. In what film does Adam Sandler play a hockey player turned golfer? Everybody.
Happy Gilmore.
Why so unexcited? That was a really good movie,
A good movie. I lost confidence as we were saying it in unison. I was like, Happy Madison Gilmore. Gilmore.
Billy Gilmore. All right. All quiz bonanza number 14. Who wants to start?
I'll start. I have a quiz.
Oh, okay.
I can quiz you guys on.
This is the point of the episode.
I'll quiz you good.
quiz you so good. You wish I'm no quiz you so good.
So let me ask you guys this. Do you know the name Robert Galbraith? Does anyone know? You, Dana, you know?
This is J.K. Lawrence's pen name.
J.K.
Rowling's.
J.K. Rowling. So in April of this year, a new book, a murder mystery called The Cuckoo's Calling was released by a debut author named Robert Galbraith. And just a couple of weeks ago, it was revealed that, and she did not want this revealed, it was revealed that it was in fact a new book by J.K. Rowling, author of the Harry Potter books. And she, and of course, J.K. Rowling had published a non-Harry Potter book since ending that series. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. But she wanted to release a book, you know, without any hype or any build-up or expectations. And unfortunately, the law firm that represented her, one of the people who worked there told a friend of his, and then she apparently put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
And J.K. Rowling was ticked off.
The lawyer told his wife's best friend. His wife's best friend.
No.
Who just ran to Twitter and spilled it all.
Yeah.
She is not happy. Certainly not happy with the
Despite the fact that it increased sales, that wasn't what she was after.
No.
Right, exactly. Well, yes, sales of the
How ironic that
calling.
It was a law firm.
I know.
Yeah. Sales of the book jumped 500,000%.
Yeah.
I mean, as you might imagine, from nothing to everybody wanted to get their hands on it. And of course, you read the reviews that came out in April, and it's like, this is a new writer really worth watching. A stellar debut. You know? And in fact, got a lot better reviews than the post-Harry Potter book that J.K. Rowling put out with her own name on it, interestingly enough. So raising some questions. Now, this was not a unique move on the part of J.K. Rowling, because many authors have used pseudonyms over the years. So this is the quiz about nom de plume, and I will give you the real name of the person. I'm giving you the real name.
Okay.
And you tell me what pseudonym they wrote under.
Okay.
Okay.
So
there might be a chance that the pseudonym is more famous than the real name.
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, the pseudonyms are almost always more famous than the real name because you know the pseudonym.
Got it.
But sometimes it's not the case.
Okay.
We'll start with an easy one. Samuel Clemens. Sounds like Colin.
Yeah.
Mark Twain.
Yes. Samuel Clemens took the name Mark Twain. Charles Lutwidge Dodson.
Oh!
Also Colin.
Lewis Carroll?
Indeed, yes! Lewis Carroll. Stephen King. Karen.
Richard Bachman.
Richard
Bachman. Yeah, that's the only one I know.
All right, hey, great. Eric Arthur Blair. Eric Arthur Blair. Hmm. What was the fictitious pen name that he wrote under?
This is a guess. Dana? Is it E.B. White?
It's not E.B. White. Eric Arthur Blair wrote under the name George Orwell.
Oh, I think I...
Let's see.
Snappy.
Yeah.
George Orwell is snappy.
Yes. Theodore Geisel.
Oh, yeah.
Colin.
That is Dr. Seuss.
That is Dr. Seuss, yes. Do you know the other pen name that he wrote under sometimes?
I know he wrote under the name Rosetta Stone at least once.
Is that true? I was thinking of a different one.
It was a full name. It was like Dr. Theophilus Seuss or something like that.
He also wrote some books under the name Theo LeSieg, which
that's
is Geisel spelled backwards.
That's right.
Very Dr. Seuss.
How about Joseph Theodore Conrad Korzeniowski?
Yeah.
Colin?
That's Joseph Conrad.
That is Joseph Conrad, yes. Mm-hmm. Buried in his actual name is the pen name that he took. Okay, let's get a little more difficult here. Pauline Phillips and Esther Pauline Lederer.
Oh.
This is Dear Dana? Abby. Ann Landers and Abby.
Yes. Pauline Phillips wrote under the name. Do you know what the pen name was? The column, the advice column she wrote was Dear Abby.
It was Abigail Van Buren.
Abigail Van Buren.
Oh, so presidential.
And Ann Landers. It wasn't like they were good friends, those two sisters. Like, and we'll each write an advice column. It'll be so fun. No. They were bitter competitors. They
really?
Actually, yeah, there were years would go by without them speaking to each other.
They're
yeah,
totally
they're
related.
Sisters. They're twins. They're twin sisters.
Yeah.
What a weird thing.
Well, that's a lot of busybodies in one family.
One of them started the advice. One of them started, took over an advice column, and the other one did the exact same thing.
And you're like, stop copying me.
Basically, yeah. Daniel Handler. Dana.
Lemony Snicket.
Lemony Snicket. Yeah. Yes. Series of unfortunate events. Mary Ann Evans. Who is Mary Ann Evans?
Gosh. Well, it's a lady.
It is a lady.
Yeah.
Mm. As a hint, she took a man's name, famously, yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Is it like George Eliot?
It is George Eliot, yes. Mary Ann Evans took the men's name George Eliot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Charles Dickens knew. He wrote a letter to her famously, and was like, it's a man, but I kind of think you're a woman because of the way you write these characters. I've never seen a man write the characters from this point of view.
Oh. Yeah. And finally, Ramona Lofton. What pen name does Ramona Lofton write under? Karen.
Stephanie Myers.
No.
That would be funny.
Stephanie Myers. I think that is her real name. Yeah. She is not ashamed. Colin.
Is that Danielle Steele?
It's not Danielle Steele.
Oh, that's a good guess.
That's a good guess.
Because that sounds like a fake name, doesn't it?
Ramona Lofton is the real name of the author Sapphire, as in precious, based on the novel Pushed by Sapphire. Okay. Yes.
Oh, cool.
Did not know that.
Yep. All right. Well, now you've learned some things.
Man, a lot of things.
a lot of
Totally got schooled.
All right. I have a quiz for you guys.
Yeah.
So you definitely know the answers to all these questions, but it's, can you figure them out in time?
No.
Who can figure them out first?
One of you will not be leaving today.
That's right.
Three people enter. Yeah. Three people leave. Wait a minute.
Okay, so I have a list of anagrams. I have a list of words with their letters mixed up, and they spell out country names when you rearrange them.
Okay.
So these are all...
And we can't write them down.
I think you could do it. In your mind, maybe. You're competing against each other to see who can do it first.
Okay.
Oh, visual thinker.
All right. First one. We'll start out easy and we'll get a little bit trickier.
Okay.
All right. Chain. Karen.
China.
Yes.
Yay.
We send.
We send.
Yep.
Sweden.
Yes. Tango. Colin.
Nope.
Tango?
It's a island nation.
Tonga. I think at the same time, yeah.
How about also?
Laos.
Yep. Rain, R-A-I-N. Chris.
Iran.
Yes.
Oh.
How about the other rain, R-E-I-G-N? Chris.
Niger.
Yes.
Wow.
All right. Rabies. R-A-B-I-E-S.
Oh.
Siberia?
No,
that's not close. Region.
Serbia.
Serbia. Yes.
I was like, and there's one too many letters in there.
Cereal. S-E-R-I-A-L.
Oh, cheating. They're writing. Dana, they're writing.
It's okay.
I'm writing with my finger.
You can write.
Everybody can write with their finger unless you're driving.
Unless you're driving. S-E-R-I-A-L.
Israel.
Yes.
Wow.
Tougher when you're not writing it down.
Yeah. I just feel so, like, the longer it takes, the dumber I feel when we get it.
How about this? Lizard newts. Lizard
newts. Newts.
Switzerland.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Lizard newts.
Yes. Aneurysm.
Whoa.
Yeah. A-N-E-U-R-I-S-M.
Not Malaysia.
My continent.
I'm going by something like something IA. You know, like countries end with EO.
Right.
No.
it's Suriname?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Is there a Y in there?
No.
No, aneurysm is ISM, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tricky.
Acrimonies. A-C-R-I-M-O-N-I-E-S.
Something EO. Oh, Micronesia.
Yes.
Ooh,
good job.
Good one.
Bag handles.
Bag handles.
Bag handles.
Oh,
yeah.
Bangladesh.
Yes. Moon race. Yeah. Colin.
Cameroon.
Yes.
Wow.
And the last one, a chaos fruit.
Whoa.
A chaos fruit. I mean, that's a long country name, too, with an F in it.
Mm. So
there's a lot of letters in there.
So frustrating.
Oh, what a chaos fruit.
Mm.
I give up.
It is South Africa.
Oh, two words. That's right.
Good job, you guys.
Man, that was hard.
Yeah, some of those were tough. That was good. All right. Well, I've got a quiz for you guys called Cut to the Chase.
Oh.
And the theme of this quiz is I'm going to play you the chase scene music.
Oh, my God.
From several hit movies.
Okay.
Now,
okay, all right.
After I put the quiz together, I realized
Seems hard. It sounds hard.
Okay, so I tried to pick really classic movies. I am sure that you guys have seen all of the movies here.
Okay.
Okay.
After I put them together, just purely coincidentally, or unintentionally, I should say, I noticed they're all 80s movies. So that's just another little hit
Was it really unintentional?
It really was unintentional. I will tell you right off the bat, there are no Star Wars movies in here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I know. So as these chunks of the score start to play, you may not notice them right away, but I think as they get a little more familiar, you'll have that just burst of, oh, I know this.
All right.
So here we go. First one.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's E.T.
Dana, it is E.T. extraterrestrial.
So in the beginning of the clip, I was, A, I recognized it was John Williams.
Yep.
And I was for sure, like, I was like, oh, it's Indiana Jones. I was like, it's Indiana Jones, it's Indiana Jones. But I was like, oh, what part of it?
Yeah, it was very Indiana Jones and then got whimsical.
Yeah.
And then it was like, wait a minute.
And
this
then
is
inspiration.
Not,
yeah. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, got it.
All right, here we go. Next track up. Oh, and just about that was from, of course, the BMX chase scene toward the end of the
yes.
movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Next one.
Oh.
I think Karen. That was Karen.
Oh, man, which one? Okay, that's also John Williams.
It is not
it
John
is
Williams.
Not? What?
It is not John Williams.
I was going to guess.
But we're only holding you to the movie here.
It's in the style of John Williams, I think.
And if it happens to be from a franchise, I'll only hold you to the franchise.
Oh, really?
You buzz
oh,
in
okay.
and not answer.
Oh, yeah. sorry. Indiana Jones.
No, incorrect.
No.
I don't know.
Chris.
Is it Jurassic Park?
It is not Jurassic
that was,
Park.
That was 90s.
Jeez, what movie was that?
I don't know.
It is from Back to the Future.
Sorry.
Back to the Future. Okay. All right. Yep.
All right. Here we go.
Idiot.
I know. This is a rough show.
Here we go. This is another one of my favorites that's appeared in many other places aside from this movie.
Right.
But it is really tied to this chase scene in this movie.
So I have it is not this, I'm sure, but it sounds like Weekend at Bernie's. It sounds Caribbean-y. Yeah.
Chasing.
It's a comedy. It is a comedy. It's more of a race, I suppose, than a chase, if you want to be really literal. It involves the title character racing home. It is from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, yes.
Well, it's butts kicked.
It's really difficult to place that music when it's totally out of context.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how all of you guys are like,
he's running through the fences.
That's right. When he's trying to get home before night.
All right.
Here we go. Another classic. And I'm confident, Karen, that you're going to get this
one.
It's about dogs.
This must be Indiana Jones.
What is the actual movie's name? Hold on. The Ark.
They've actually renamed it from the.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, it was Raiders of the Lost Ark that they've since renamed as Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's baloney. Yes. But okay.
Yes, it's from the Desert Chase and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
All right, and I'll close it out here with one of my personal favorite chase themes.
And it's not a Star Wars movie.
Wow.
All right.
Here we go. Takers, Dana?
I have two guesses.
Okay.
I have none.
Cannonball Run?
No.
The other one is Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
No. It's by a movie from directors we've mentioned earlier. It's from a Coen Brothers film.
Oh, okay.
Karen?
Raising Arizona.
Yes.
Oh.
It's from the chase scene after he steals the diapers and raising. You've never seen it?
Okay. Never seen
when
it.
When you go home, watch that. If nothing else, just watch that chase scene. There's some dogs in it, if that is an enticement to you.
Fakes.
I think it was a great chase scene. Hilarious and exciting all in one.
I'll have to watch that again. I think I was like 9 years old or something when I watched that.
All right.
We're going to win one of these. We're going to do a good job.
Well, we'll take a quick little sweet break. I have a quiz. So I love pies. And you know, when you go to the store, or you, what does that mean?
Nothing. Pies are delicious and delightful.
Okay. Fat?
No.
Obviously.
Meow.
So when you buy pies, or when I buy pies at a store, it's what you're buying is pretty clear in the name, right? You have like apple pie, key lime pie, berry pie, whatever, coconut cream pie. The flavor is in the name. However, there's some sweets and desserts where its name has nothing to do with the flavor. And so I have a quiz about pastry cake pie flavors that are named a name.
Okay.
But not necessarily what, you know, after fruits or after the actual flavor.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right. Sounds good. Sounds delicious.
All right. First up, this is a classic Pennsylvanian Dutch pie made of molasses.
Oh.
Is this shoe fly pie?
Yes. Shoe fly pie.
Never heard of
really?
That.
Really?
Shoe fly
you gotta,
pie.
You gotta drive up and down the East Coast.
I guess
child.
I did.
Yeah, it is is an East Coast thing. The name probably comes from because it's so sweet and sticky that flies attract and you have to shoo them away.
Oh, got
so
it.
So shoo the fly
got
away
it,
pie.
Got it.
It's not made out of little shoes that are for flies.
that's the first
we're
thing
made
I
made of flies.
Yeah, right.
No, is it shoe? Shoe, right. Yeah. Yeah, from the same literary tradition as like hush puppies.
Yeah, shoe fly.
No, it's very like functional. Yeah. Hush the puppies.
Right.
Shoo the fly. All right. This cake's ingredients include banana, pineapple, pecans, and cinnamon. And it's a staple in Southern American cooking.
Oh.
It's named after an animal. Banana, pineapple, cinnamon, and pecans are the main ingredients.
And it's named after an animal.
Mm-hmm.
Dog pie.
I know. Yo, donkey cake.
I don't know. I'll pass.
No, it's a hummingbird cake.
Really?
Never it's heard so of it. Sweet and delightful. What is the actual technical flavor of red velvet? Dana?
Chocolate. Just red food coloring chocolate?
I'm looking for a specific term.
Dark chocolate?
Oh, I was going to say beets.
It is cocoa. Cocoa
is
the flavor. Chocolate, yes, but specifically said cocoa is made.
And,
Dana doesn't look convinced.
I would contest that.
So why is it red? You are actually totally correct, Chris.
Okay.
So when foods were rationed during World War II, a lot of bakers used beet juice to make their cakes prettier and brighter, and that kind of just stuck around. Obviously, nowadays, they put red food coloring.
Yeah. Red dye number
places,
two.
Yeah, there's some places out there who are still using beet juice to color their red velvet
cakes.
But
it makes it extra sweet.
What is the difference between black forest cake and German chocolate cake? They're not the same thing.
Huh. I think that black forest cake has like a topping on top of it of like chocolate crumbs or something of that nature.
Yeah, I was going to guess something like a fudge coating or something.
And then
I don't know.
German chocolate cake, that's the one with the kind of coconutty icing, like it's the brown icing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dana's right. So German chocolate cake is a chocolate cake with a coconut topping.
Okay.
That's sticky, like caramelly. It's supposed to be coconut and pecan. Mm-hmm. And black forest cake is chocolate cake with kirsch or with cherries, with black cherries.
Oh, okay.
So here's the thing. Black forest cake is from Germany, is a German cake. But German chocolate cake is not German. It's named after Mr. German.
I love stuff like that.
So that's two very distinct.
Was he from Germany?
American?
He's not from Germany. He's
American. Well, what is this?
So, of course, one of my favorite cakes is the Tres Leches cake. It's a Mexican cake.
Yeah.
And it's, like the name, it's three milk cake. Uh-huh. What are the three milks in Tres Leches cake?
Oh, man.
It's delicious.
Dana. So is one of them dulce de leche? Is it like caramelly milk? No.
Cow's milk?
They're all cow's milk.
Oh, they are? Oh, okay. So like milk, like regular, you know, whatever milk, condensed milk, and buttermilk? I don't know.
I think that's all cow's milk.
Yeah.
It is.
Cream? I don't know.
Cream.
Okay.
Heavy cream.
Yeah.
Condensed milk and
evaporated milk, of course.
Okay.
So this type of cake, its popularity took off in the 1920s and 30s as it used many commercial shortcuts and pre-made ingredients and required no baking.
Huh.
No baking.
And it's a cake? Or
it's
a pie.
It's called a cake. What kind of cake?
It's not pound cake, is it?
Nope. Hmm.
Oh, is it an icebox?
Yes, yeah. An icebox cake. Huh. This blew my mind. I didn't know this exists. So it's layers of graham crackers or wafers with cream.
Okay, yeah.
And what happens is when you put it in the icebox or the refrigerator, the wafers soak up the moisture from the cream, and then it becomes like a cake-like texture. So then you just slice it and eat it.
Solidifies a little bit, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
That sounds tasty.
This dessert is literally translated to pick me up, and it may be related to one of the key ingredients in this dessert.
Tiramisu.
Yes. Tiramisu.
Yes. Yes.
Has coffee in it, and it means pick me up. Metaphorically, make me happy.
Yes.
I was like, lady fingers doesn't mean pick me up.
Last one. Mm-hmm. So this is also known as a Norwegian omelet. Totally doesn't sound like dessert, but you might know its more common name to commemorate the acquisition of an American territory. What goes into an omelet? Norwegian omelet.
Norwegian omelet. Eggs.
The acquisition of a North American territory?
Of an American territory.
American territory.
Like Hawaiian.
Oh, I know this. It is baked Alaska.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a meringue, right?
Baked Alaska is basically an ice cream in the center covered in meringue and with cake and baked.
Mm.
The meringue actually acts as an insulation. So the meringue gets cooked, the egg whites get cooked, but the ice cream stays frozen in the middle. So it's like hot and cold.
And did the dish exist before the acquisition, or was it just...
There are a lot of permutations of that type of idea of like, let's fry or bake or heat up something that's covered ice cream or something icy. Well, there you go. Something sweet. Just so you guys know, I had to look at so much work. Look at lists and lists of pastries and cakes on Wikipedia. It was so great. They all had pictures, too. I was so hungry.
Longtime listeners to Good Job Brain might remember a segment that we did a few episodes back called Did Chris Get It Right? In which I asked my fiance to ask me some questions that things that girls would immediately know, but that boys may not know. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Colin questions that Regina and some of her friends asked me. We'll see if you can figure it out, but then you guys all have to guess as to whether or not I was able to get it when the question was posed
to
me.
And these are girly questions.
These are girly questions. Cover the spectrum from makeup to clothing to television shows to books to things to middle school things, actually.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we went it went all over the place this time. We'll get this one started off. So, what was the name, Colin, of Sabrina the Teenage Witch's cat?
Oh, man. Oh. Oh, gosh.
No, yes, it's supposed to be easy for you, Kat.
It was something like Dexter or Felix or Dexter. Magic or something.
You're getting close.
I don't remember.
No. Karen?
Salem.
It was Salem.
Oh,
yes.
Of course. Something witchy related.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, did I get this right?
Sabrina the Teenage Witch. That's a comic.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say that you got it right.
I did know that one. Okay.
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
And it just the most terrible cat puppet, right? It was awful.
So the movie Mean Girls, which figures into the lives of so many American women of this generation, was based on a book. What was the name of that book?
Oh, okay. I think it was something in Queen Bees, right? Wasn't it? I can't put it all
together. It's not going to get you through Final Jeopardy.
All right, no. Yet.
Karen?
It is Queen Bees and Wannabes.
Yes, Queen Bees and Wannabes. Okay. Now, did I know that?
I'm going to say yes, you did.
I say no.
Say you knew part of it, but not all of it.
That was Colin. No, I blew the whole thing.
Say? You're just like, no.
I remember watching the movie, and it's like, oh, it's something and something, but I don't know what it yet.
See, you got part of it.
You're right. I got the and.
Like, I knew that you'd heard of it, but not retained it.
What is Raggedy Ann's boyfriend's name? Or, you know, paramour or whatever.
I didn't know if they were related or not.
Or brother.
I thought they were brother and sister. It's Raggedy Andy, right?
Yes, it is.
I always thought Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy were brother and sister.
That's what
I thought they were like, you know,
together,
an adulterous couple living in sin. I don't know.
Oh, my.
Because it's not like their last names are the same, just their first name, Raggedy.
I know. Well, they are the last two of their kind. They
could be, yeah. Just to ensure the survival of the species.
Maybe they're all of the above. We don't know. Let's not judge dolls.
But did I know that?
Yes.
Yeah, I did know that. That's pretty, it's pretty good. What are culottes? Colin.
Culottes. Oh. They're like, they're not quite a skirt. They're not quite pants. They're not quite shorts.
That's the worst answer.
That is true.
Yeah. Okay. That's what they are. Yeah.
I thought they're like cut pants with wide legs that looks like.
That is how it was explained to me, was that they're shorts. But they're very wide in the legs, so they look like sort of they sort of look like a skirt. Now, did I know that?
Probably.
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Yeah,
I'll say no.
You're right. I didn't. I mistook them for capris. I said, are they the pants that go about 3/4 down your leg?
Okay.
No. Yeah. Now, what are Spanx?
Spanx are
you watch 30 Rock.
Spanx are a body shaping undergarment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they are.
I don't think you knew.
I think you did.
I think he did.
I did know what Spanx are. I said, yeah, you know, they squish your fat in.
I tried to put it in a much more delicate term.
Yeah, to which Regina said, they're called shapewear.
End of quiz.
conversation. Yeah.
So moving on. What is a cootie catcher?
Cootie catcher. Yeah. It's the little, isn't the little thing you would do, like, weave with your hands, like a Jacob's ladder, kind of?
No, it is not. It's not a cat's cradle or anything like that. Okay.
I feel like my sister, I know this,
I feel like our two co-hosts know what this is. Yeah. So what is a cootie catcher?
It's like a origami little piece of paper that's folded up, and you can bend it different ways.
It's that fortune teller origami.
The fortune teller one, right? Yeah. Yes. Okay, the back and forth.
That
is what it is,
one of its many names.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did I know that?
Yeah. I would think so. You went to elementary school in America.
I'll say no.
You're right, Colin. I did not know what that was. No, I mean, I knew that, you know, the origami fortune tellery thing that the girls played with. I didn't know that they had a name for it. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Also, back in middle school, one of Regina's friends asked me, do you know what the pencil test is?
Yeah.
We'll see if Colin knows what the pencil test is.
What is the pencil? I do know what the pencil test is. What? Oh, this is about bras, right?
It is?
Yeah. So the pencil test is... Am I actually going to say what this is on the air?
Yeah.
The pencil test is you lift up your boob and you put a pencil under it. And if the pencil falls to the ground, you don't need a bra. Right? Wasn't that
what
it is?
That is what the pencil test is.
Yeah. Americans are weird. If the pencil falls, you don't need a bra.
Right, because there's not enough
nothing to hold up,
overhang and to necessitate containment. Support, rather.
Wow.
I don't think you knew this. I'll say yes.
I'll say no.
I had no idea what the pencil test was. What's the pencil test?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
You're in a little boy bubble. You just didn't know what was going on.
You grew up with a brother, too. Yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly. We didn't know. Finally, what a boy band was Nick Lachey in?
Oh, man, I always get these mixed up.
That's why it's difficult.
He was NSYNC?
No.
All right. Backstreet Boys?
No.
You're crazy.
Like a lower tier than those.
Yeah. It's a number.
Oh, 98. Was it 98 degrees?
Yeah.
That's okay. It was 98 degrees.
I now, did cherish you.
Did I get that right?
No.
Yes.
I'll say yes.
I did. I got it right.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know. I sort of guessed. It was like 98 degrees. Because I figured it wasn't one of the big guns of boy bands.
I never get the power players.
You were right for the right reason.
Yep.
Very good.
So I did okay, I guess. I don't know.
Opened my eyes in some of those things.
I think you acquitted guys pretty well.
Yeah.
I was doing the pencil test for months before I realized.
No,
it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. You're just not going to need that bra anytime soon.
So do people want to ace? What's acing the pencil test? Is that when?
I don't think it's not like a pencil exam. It's more like a litmus test.
Yes. That's good.
All right. So I have a wordy kind of quiz. It's in two parts, and the second part is going to be really dumb. But we're going to do the first part first. So there are a lot of sayings in English, a lot of expressions that is word and word. So blank and blank. Okay. Peas and carrots, you know, over and over.
Sure.
What I'm going to do for the first part is I'm going to describe what it is and buzz in and let me know what blank and blank is.
Okay.
So they're really short clues. So here we go. Get your buzzers ready. Mm-hmm. Black and white ice cream flavor.
Cookies and cream?
Yes, Colin. Oh. Cookies and cream. Problem-solving method. Chris.
Trial and error.
Yes. This is a math movie starring Edward James Olmos. Everybody!
Stand and deliver.
Yeah. Man, I love that movie.
That was That's a good movie. Yeah.
I was like, I want to ace my AP calculus test, too. All right. Moon movement.
Oh.
Wax and wane?
Yes, wax and wane. Lloyd Christmas and Harry Dunn. Chris.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yes. All right, here we're moving on to the second part. And this is actually the initial idea of my quiz, but I just couldn't think of a lot to flesh it out. But I'm going to share some of the ones I do have. So on TV or in movies, there are a lot of cop shows or law enforcement shows, and it's always something and something. Tango and Cash.
Right.
Turner and Hooch. Rizzoli and Isles. Sure. So here I have normal blank and blank sayings, but what I'm going to give you is a tagline to a fake, fake TV show.
Wait, and, so it's not going to be Starsky and Hutch?
No,
nothing like
so
that.
They're not going to be names. They're actually going to be English sayings as if they're TV cop shows.
Okay.
The format of this is I'm going to read a tagline. One is describing a character of the first part of the and saying, and one character is the second part of the and saying, and then there's a little clue tagline. So it's like, he's a blah, 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 and he's a blah, blah, blah. Together, they must blah, blah, blah. And they all clue in to the same.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
All right. And what you have to do, and this is required, when you answer, you have to say this before the answer. Together, they are.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. He's a detective all about flair and style, and he's a CSI agent. Can they find the mysterious high school graduation killer in time? Chris.
Together, they are. Pomp and circumstance.
Yes. Very good. All right. He's a cigar-puffing old-timer, and he's a vain pretty boy new to the force. Can they find the mysterious magic show killer in time?
Oh.
Together they are smoke and mirrors.
He's a jet-setter Interpol agent, and he's a local slacker who just wants to have fun. Can they find the Honolulu tourist killer in time?
Surf and turf.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, and I didn't deliver it right.
That's good though. Yeah. No.
Jet settings. Together, their travel and leisure.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. So dumb. Okay, last one. Obviously, now I can tell it's kind of hard to have a whole, you know, 10 questions in this format. Yeah. Break it up. All right, last one. He's a high-tech detective from Silicon Valley, and he's a sheriff from a dairy town. Can they find the mysterious diner killer in time?
Cereal and milk.
That's not bad. That's not no.
No.
Together they are chips and cheese.
Close. Together they are mac and cheese.
Oh, I see. Oh,
wow.
Mac was a little bit of a stretch.
So bad.
But the idea is good.
Yes.
It was just hard to come up with these taglines.
Funny. That was funny, but tough.
Sorry.
We've talked about Mother Goose before, and we'll talk about Mother Goose again right now, in fact. So I have the starting lines, the opening lines of some pretty well-known Mother Goose rhymes, and I want you to just complete the couplet, like finish the rhyme for it.
Okay.
All right? All right. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Chris?
Humpty Dumpty had a great fall.
Yep. One, two, buckle my shoe. Colin.
3, 4, open the door.
3, 4, out the door.
Shut the door.
Shut the door.
3, 4, shut the door.
Could be.
Yeah. Oh. How about this? There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. Colin.
She had so many children, she didn't know what to do.
Yep. Okay. Jack B.
Nelson. Oh, that's a really weird story. I never really thought about it.
Yeah,
that
if you
way.
Start working through it.
And probably
how did she have all these children? And she's so tiny, she lives in a shoe. Oh, maybe it's right, a big right. shoe.
Yeah,
maybe
it's a big shoe. A big shoe. It's a big shoe.
I like that you're trying to make it make sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Back to the quiz. Jack B. Nimble, Jack B. Quick. Chris.
Jack jump over the candlestick.
Yeah.
Oh. That's a good what nursery rhymes Karen thinks. Yeah. She knows.
It's not a dirty limerick, Karen.
What did you think it was?
Jack sat on a candlestick.
Whoa. Right.
That you're thinking American Pie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Sing a song of sixpence, a pocket full of rye. Colin?
Oh.
4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie.
Yeah. As I was going to St. Ives. Chris?
I met a man with 7 wives.
Yeah.
Right. Whoa.
There's a lot of, you know, different family situations in these.
Yeah.
Old King Cole was a merry old soul. Colin?
And a merry old soul was he?
Yes. Is that what you thought it was, Karen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was. Okay. I remember the second part was like, isn't just stating what it was already stated?
Yeah. 30 days, half September.
Oh, this is from Calendar Man! Yes. From Batman!
What? I think it preceded Batman.
Oh.
April, June, and November. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
You know, from Batman.
You know, from Batman. Man.
Sure.
I use that mnemonic actually a lot. I have to run through the whole thing, all at once.
You don't do the Knuckles thing?
You taught me the Knuckles thing. Oh, it blew my mind when you taught me that, yeah.
So to know which months have 31 days or 30 days, you take your left hand and you count from your most right knuckle and you go January and then in the divot, February, March, April. And then when you get to the end of your knuckle, you count it again back.
And then that's how you know 30 versus 31.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or guess,
and then February is different. Yeah.
I just memorized that poem.
Yeah. 30 days have September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, except for February, which is 28. Leap year, add one. How about Little Boy Blue, Come Blow Your Horn?
The sheep's in the meadow, the cow's in the corn.
Yes. Good job.
Nice.
Whoa.
Monday's child is fair of face.
Is this from Batman 2? Isn't this Solomon Grundy?
Is it Tuesday's child full of grace? Is full of grace?
Yes. Okay. Tuesday's child is full of grace. Ah. All right. Last one. Bye bye, baby bunting.
Is that the one where baby falls off a tree or something?
No, that's Rockabye Baby. That's a different one. Yeah.
Bye bye, baby bunting.
Well, we know it's not from Batman.
No.
Because then Kara would know it.
Next word is fathers.
Gone away.
Oh, you're so close.
Oh, really?
You're so close. But it has to rhyme.
Oh, bye bye, baby bunting. Father's gone a hunting?
Yes.
Oh, look at that. All right. Huh.
Good job, you guys.
All right. Our quiz show is coming to an end. Colin, you got one last quiz for us.
I do. I have a quiz for you guys called Call a Doctor.
Is that the name of the quiz,
Doctor
or are you
who?
Having a heart attack?
Colin's not moving, you guys.
But what about the quiz?
Don't die on me!
Quiz
you promised me a quiz!
So, all of the answers to this quiz will start with Doctor.
Oh,
so these are about famous people. These are all real people.
Dr. Pepper.
Doctor Who.
No fictional. Yeah, no Doctor Who.
Dr. Quinn,
no Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
All right.
So I'm going to give you a little bit of some clues about this person's life, and I'm going to read them from a first-person perspective. So they're all going to end with, who am I? And the answer will be Doctor somebody.
Right.
And there may be some docs thrown in there just for good measure.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I was born Julius Irving, but picked up a number of nicknames on the basketball court, including Houdini and Black Moses. Who am I? I think that was
excited.
Dana.
Whoa.
Dr. J.
Dr. J.
Yep.
Yes, yes.
I got excited.
So, they're real people.
They are
not real
people.
Doctors.
Yes.
Doctors.
Yes.
I was like, wow, this doctor is very athletic. So.
I was a doctor in the German army. I injured my ankle on a ski trip in 1945, and when I discovered my standard issue army boots weren't comfortable on my injured foot, I decided to invent something better.
Wow.
Oh, wait.
Who am I?
Dr. Schultz.
Martin. Oh.
Karen is correct. Dr. Martens.
No.
Dr. Klaus Martens.
Those are really Nazi boots.
He was in the German army.
He's not British.
He is not British. At the end of the war, it's really interesting. At the end of the war, in fact, they used a lot of leftover rubber from German airfields and things like that to create the boots.
Because it's so related to the UK.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. By far and away, they became really well known in the UK. Right, right. Well, I mean, they were utilitarian at first, like a lot of postal workers and factory workers and cops would wear them. And then it kind of spread from there to subculture. But, you know.
I am scandalized that it's not Dr. Scholl's. And now we leaving open the mystery of who is Dr. Scholl's.
The boots, the original boots look almost the same as the ones that we buy today. When the boots first came out, the overwhelming demographic was women over 40. Made up 80% of the people who bought Doc Martens when they first came out. Right, right. They're therapeutic. After being busted for drinking in my dorm room, I was kicked off the staff of my college humor magazine. In order to keep writing, I adopted the first of several pen names, signing my works with my now famous middle name. Who am I?
Oh.
Hmm.
We may have mentioned this person earlier in the episode.
Wow. Oh.
Dana. Yeah, okay.
Dr. Seuss?
Dr. Seuss. Oh. Yes, yes. Theodore Seuss Geisel.
Yes.
And this was his way of continuing to write for publication sort of clandestinely.
Huh.
Ah.
As a young woman in the 1940s, I was trained as a sniper in what would become the forerunner of the Israeli Defense Forces. But these days, I'm far more well known for my work on bringing people together intimately.
I know.
No doctors. Way.
Dana.
Dr. Ruth.
Dr. Ruth.
No.
Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
Way.
Yeah. Yes. It
sniper.
Is crazy. Mm. She was trained. She was a lookout and a sniper.
She's tiny.
They said that was one of the reasons, actually. They wanted her to be like a scout and a lookout. Yeah. She's 4'7". She is so small. And yeah, they said like in the course of her training, they discovered she's a crack shot. Just an amazing shot with a sniper rifle. She never killed anybody.
And now they found sex therapist.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say in the course of her training, they found out she's great at sex advice.
Wow.
Yes, yes. From sniper to sex therapist.
All right.
A lot of crossover there.
I was trained as a dentist in Philadelphia and had my own practice in Atlanta. In the 1870s, I contracted tuberculosis and moved to Arizona in the hopes the drier climate would alleviate my symptoms. It's safe to say I fell in with a bad crowd. Who am I? Chris.
Doc Holliday,
yes.
Oh, yes, yeah. From Tombstone.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Also real life.
Also real person, sorry.
John Henry Holliday, DDS, yes.
Doc Holliday,
yes.
That's right.
All right, guys, last one here. In the 1860s, I created a digestion aid and tonic for children, made primarily of celery seed and sugar. If you've spent any time in a Jewish delicatessen over the last 100 years, you've probably seen the legacy of my creation. Who am I? Karen.
Doc Brown.
Yes, Dr. Brown's. Dr. Brown's
celery
sodas.
Soda.
Yes, the Cel-Ray was the first in the line of famous Dr. Brown soda. For a long time, it was the only kosher soda available.
Interesting.
Yes, which is one reason that it became so popular in New York and Brooklyn and then spread out. There is some dispute whether or not Dr. Brown was in fact a real druggist in New York. Yes.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of a lack of clarity there, whether he actually existed, but I decided to throw it in just because I like Dr. Brown's soda.
Nice.
Cool.
All right. Good awesome. Job, guys.
Yeah.
Well done.
Hooray.
All right. And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learn a lot about chasing music, pseudonyms, nom de plumes, nursery rhymes, lots about cake, pies, and of course, the pencil test, which is
maybe change some lives today.
The key takeaway of this of today's episode.
Test yourself.
We're changing lives one boob at a time.
One under boob at a time.
Yeah.
All right. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and also on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.